Text number 10. From Canto 5, chapter 12. Very interesting chapter, isn't it? Evam Krisham Stolam Anur Brahadyad. Asach cha saj jivam ajivam anyat. Dravyasva bhavashaya kala karma. Namna jaya vehi kritam dvatiyam. Evam krisham stulam anur brahad yad. Asach cha saj jivam ajivam anyat. Dravya svabhava shaya kala karma. Namna jaya vehi kritam dvatiyam. Evam, thus, krisham, skinny or short, stolam, fat, anuho, tiny, brihat, big, yat, which, asat, impermanent, cha, and sat, existing. Jivam, the living entities. Ajivam, inanimate, lifeless matter. Anyat, other causes. Dravya, phenomena. Svabhava, nature. Ashaya, disposition. Kala, time, karma, activities, namna, only by such names, ajaya, by material nature, avehi, you should understand, kritam, done, dvatiyam, duality. Translation, since this universe has no real ultimate existence, the things within it, shortness, differences, grossness, skinniness, smallness, bigness, result, cause, living symptoms, and materials are all imagined. They are all pots made of the same substance, earth, but they are named differently. The differences are characterized by the substance, nature, predisposition, time, and activity. You should know that all these are simply mechanical manifestations created by material nature. Purport. The temporary manifestations and varieties within this material world are simply creations of material nature under various circumstances. Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvashaha. The actions and reactions carried out by material nature are sometimes accepted as our scientific inventions. Therefore, we want to take credit for them and defy the existence of God. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. Ahankar vibhudhatva kartaham iti manyate. Due to being covered by the illusory energy of the living entities, living entity tries to take credit for the differentiated creations within the material world. Actually, all these are being created automatically by the material force set in motion by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the ultimate cause is the Supreme Person, as stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachid Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes, the ultimate cause. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Evam Sarvam Tata Prakrit Prakrit Vayai Kalpitam Vishnur Anyat Evam Prakritya Dhara Swayam Ananya Dharo Vishnu Eva Atak Sarvam Shabdascha Tasmin Eva. Actually, the original cause is Lord Vishnu, but out of ignorance people think that matter is the cause of everything. Raja Goptasrayo Bhumi Sharanam Cheti Laukika Vyavaharovna Tatsatyam Tayor Brahmashrayo Vibhu. Things are contemplated on the ephemeral or external platform, but actually this is not the truth. The actual protector and shelter of everyone is Brahman, the Supreme, not the King. Goptricha Tasya Prakritis Tasya Vishnur Svayam Prabhu Tava Goptri Tu Prithivi Natvam Gopta Shite Smritaha Atak Sarva Shrayais Chaiva Gopta Cha Harir Ishwaraha Sarva Shabdha Videyascha Shabda Vritir Hi Karanam Sarvantara Sarva Bahir Eka Eva Janardanaha. What does that mean? The actual protectress is the material nature, but Vishnu is her Lord. He is the Lord of everything. Lord Janardhan is the director, both externally and internally. He is the cause of the function of words and what is expressed in all sound. Shira Sodharata Yadvad Grivayas Tavad Eva Tu Ashayat Vam Cha Gotrit Vam Anyesham Upacharataha. Lord Vishnu is the resting place of the entire creation. Brahmanohi Patishtaham. On Brahman everything is resting. All the universes are resting on the Brahma Jyoti, and all the planets are resting on the universal atmosphere. In each and every planet there are oceans, hills, states, and kingdoms. And each planet is giving shelter to so many living entities. They are all standing on the earth of feet. They are all standing on the earth of feet and legs, torso and shoulders. But actually everything is resting ultimately on the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore he is known ultimately as Sarvakarna Karnam, the cause of all causes. Again, it's complex. And I read it 3 times. And it seems that what's Prabhupada's purport, the emphasis similar to the previous and even more so in this one, his commentary or his purport is going to the background feature of the Supreme Lord who is within everything, which is the essence of what he's saying in this section. But what he's saying in this, when he's saying in this verse and the previous verse, is more about the impermanence of the states of transformation of material energy. There's in this verse, there's different lists. The list of nomenclature by which something is known, a form. Because all this discussion is about the king and the palanquin carrier of the king. And so those are designations. We know this term very well in ISKCON, it's upadhi. sarva upadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Standard definition of bhakti that Prabhupada would speak again and again. So we're told by that verse that we should let go of the misconception of who we are based upon the upadi or designation, just like these lists. It starts with the first line, Krisham, Stulam, Anur, Brahad, Yad, Asach, Cha, Sach, Jivam, Ajivam, Anyat. These are designations. For sure, the first line, fatness, skinniness, and grossness, smallness, bigness. The rest, result, cause, living symptoms, and materials. Materials, that's this ajivam. So matter, as distinct from soul, jiva is ajivam, it's negative, not ajiva, not ajiva is matter. They're resting upon the designation is literally, the literal meaning is something that covers. The classic, Jiva Goswami explains this. The classic is a body of water, a puddle, or a pond, or a lake, or a river, or an ocean. It's covering the earth. So beneath the puddle, or the pond, or the lake, there's the earth. So the lake or the pond, it's an upadi. It's something that's covering it up with something. So go beyond the covering and you get what the something is. And bhakti teaches sarva upadi vinirmuktam. Don't identify with the covering. Now it doesn't mean there's no covering, or the covering it doesn't exist, it's false. There's a puddle or a pond or a lake, it exists. And in terms of the body, it may be fat or skinny or big or small or whatever these different adjectives are. But that's not the true self. The true self is that upon which the thing, the upadi, is resting. You pierce the veil, go beyond the appearance of things, the covering of things, and what's inside. What's the real essence of something? It's not the covering, the packaging. It's what's inside. The value of the package is what's inside. So what's inside? What Prabhupada is doing, and this other list that's also here, starts with dravya, swabhava, the third line, ashaya, kala, karma. So those are ways by which something may be given a name. The differences, so the translation, the differences are characterized by the substance. So substance refers to dravya, the word for word in the verse is phenomena. And phenomena, Prabhupada uses that term as distinct from noumenal, is phenomenal, that's so temporary, worldly. Dravya. So, is there substance in a shadow, or is there substance in a reflection of an object? Is there substance within anything of the material world? Well, a materialist will say, of course, And you silly people to think something else. The spirit is substance. You know, you're silly. Face reality. The substance is matter. So the Vedic perspective is it's insubstantial. It's now you see it, now you don't. And then there's a long you don't, and then you can see it again. It becomes manifest and unmanifest. As the previous description, it flows. You know, the atoms are the basic building block of the universe. But where the atoms come from, and there's time where there's no atoms, and there's no universe, there's no cosmic manifestation. It exists in avyakta, the dormant state, it's an energy of Krishna. But the energy of Krishna transforms, and then it becomes atoms, and then it becomes the universe. And then the universe is withdrawn, and the atoms aren't manifest. They go back to their unmanifest state, the pradhan state. But it's still an energy of the Supreme Lord then being transformed. So, dravya, swabhava, nature, just like Brahma karma swabhavajam, kshatriya karma swabhavajam, vaishya karma swabhavajam, Bhagavad Gita. The designation, Brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, is a designation arising from swabhava. From swabhava comes certain qualities. For a Brahmana, these qualities. For a Kshatriya, those qualities. The qualities arise from Svabhava. And Svabhava has to do with the soul misidentifying itself in a particular way with matter. So false ego is also a temporary manifestation. The pure state of living entity is without false ego. And then through false ego, different swabhava, and then different characteristics. It's kind of getting down and down, the cause and the cause and the cause. So that's where Prabhupada's purport is going. It's the cause of all causes. Because that's where this differentiation, the connection between the verse and the purport is. The verse is describing the temporary that's resting upon something. And that something, what's that resting upon? What's that something resting upon? What's that something resting upon? He's probably just taking it to its ultimate conclusion. Instead of, you know, step by step. Which is what Jad Bharat is doing. Prabhupada's taking it to its conclusion. Because the purpose of Jad Bharat, similarly, is he's a devotee. He's a perfected soul. He knows the cause of all causes. He knows the absolute truth. He's taking compassion upon the king. But as we're hearing Prabhupada write in the purport, the actual protector and shelter of everyone is Brahman, the supreme, not the king. So, my dear king, you're puffed up and you're Maya. Here's the reality. Everything's resting upon the Supreme Person. Or take some part of all the temporary things, they're resting upon the elements, and the elements are resting upon the source of those elements. So we're not those elements, and we're not the configuration of those elements. It's temporary. We're the eternal soul, and so the soul, everything is resting upon Brahman. That's what's in the purport. Janardana is the director, both externally and internally. He's the cause of the function of words and what is expressed in all sound. Reference to 14:27 Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. The Brahman is the resting place of all the universes. Then he just breaks down the universes. All the planets within the universe, and then within the planet is all the oceans, hills, states, and kingdoms. So the planet gives shelter to those things. And then there's living entities that are residing on that, in that kingdom and in these different places. And so he just goes to the ultimate. The ultimately everything's resting on the Supreme Person, because Brahman is resting upon the Supreme Person, and everything is resting upon Brahman. So one who is Krishna conscious like that doesn't falsely become proud, as Rahugana did, by "I'm the king. You're not serving me properly. You know, I'm going to punish you because I'm the king. That's what kings do. I have the right. I'm going to punish you." Practical application of this for a devotee is we do make distinctions, and we relate to this configuration of matter this way, that configuration of matter that way. We're not mayavadis, although the distinctions are illusory. We act appropriately for this temporary manifestation, that temporary manifestation. We put shoes on our feet and our shirt on our back. And, you know, we act in practical ways, although ultimately recognizing the existence is illusory. But while doing so, it's helpful to know even the illusory feature is resting on something, as we're putting shoes on our feet and shirt on our back. It's all resting on something. We're meant to be doing the putting the shoes on our feet because there's some service for the Supreme Person upon whom everything rests. We can engage ourselves with the external energy, knowing what's behind the external energy, where it comes from, and thus what its purpose is, who is the proprietor, and according to scripture, how to use things properly in the service of the proprietor. Full well knowing the manifestation is illusory. Illusory in the sense that it's temporary, but it's the chair is here, the altar is there, the deity is there, the floor is over here, and we're engaging with the external energy, conscious of its function in terms of service to the Lord. That's bhakti. But we're not caught up with the emphasis given here is with illusion. Thinking about the temporary manifestation as all in all, thus covering our understanding of the Self and the Supreme. Well, so say it the other way around. While striving to be conscious of the Self and the Supreme, we're not bewildered by the temporary manifestation. We're just dealing with it in practical terms. Not just utilitarian, but in service to Krishna. That's what we're being encouraged or trained to cultivate like that. So state the other way again. Rather than seeing the upadi, seeing the configurations of matter at the moment and identifying, aha, that's it. It's this, that's what the thing is. We can see what the thing is and see the background behind the thing and engage the thing in service to he who is in the background. Not in illusion, with pride, not with sadness that I'm not the king, I'm a palanquin carrier. Whatever service opportunity is given, we're happy. It's high philosophy. And while it's nice to discuss these things while we're sitting here during Bhagavatam class, as soon as we walk out the door, we just the whole thing, you know, that's another operational system going on. But the message, nonetheless, it knowledge helps in detachment, and knowledge of devotion helps one nourish devotion. So it, at least, you know, the details we may not be remaining mindful of as we go about our next set of things. The principle is something that can take root. We're meant for serving Krishna, although we can't see him, he's everywhere. We're meant for serving Krishna. That's this human form of life. And there's philosophical basis and support for that. Although it's a little puzzling and not so easy to understand. There's philosophical basis for all of that. Provided for us in this Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not mere sentiment. It's transcendental knowledge supporting bhakti. Any discussion? Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, you made a statement that we're happy with any service we receive because of this fundamental understanding presented in this verse.
Mm. But
so yeah, why is it that we consider service, the kind of service that we get or given the opportunity to do, as a measure of our worth?
False ego and identification with matter. The lens through which we're looking at life is jaded. It's Maya. We're not seeing as Krishna sees. We're seeing as our devotees of nature and our karma see. Krishna's happy with whatever. So what he wants is our love and our sincerity and our best effort. So we do those, and that's the Krishna's happiness, and that's Krishna's happiness is the devotee's happiness. We always want to improve, and you know, increase our capacity. That's also natural, devotional. It certainly can be a competitive sentiment, but it can be a devotional sentiment. You're not satisfied look on your face.
No, I appreciate it very much. I'm also considering whether I should ask my next question. That's my face.
Oh, okay. Well, while you're making up your mind, let's see if somebody else has a question.
Couple of questions, Maharaj. One in continuation with your answer to this previous question. And yet we have statistics like how many books somebody distributes.
Of course.
How many people show up at a program.
Why not? How many plates of prasadam? How many rounds? Why not? We're making an offering to Krishna. Why not? We're not impersonalists. So quantity and quality we're interested in to offer to Krishna. Just like with deity worship, you know, that there's a certain number of items that are to be offered with each offering. Not like, you know, just here's some water, I go. Well, maybe I'll warm some milk and put warm milk instead of water. It's not, you know, quantity doesn't mean non-devotional.
You made a statement, not just utilitarian, but in service to Krishna. I didn't understand that, Guruji.
Could you remind me of the context?
Utilitarian for in using the dravya as opposed to...
Oh, yeah, utilitarian, but in that sense is, I've got a need, this thing can maybe take care of my need, and so I'm going to use it to take care of my need. It's, you know, selfish, utilitarian in that sense. As opposed to for the satisfaction of Krishna. Utility is the principle, and that's not in the negative sense that I was using the term. The negative sense is selfishness.
So we say yukta vairagya, using something, but that's not utilitarian, that's service to Krishna.
It's not utilitarian in the negative sense. It's using things in Krishna's service. In a positive sense, that's what things are meant for, to be used in Krishna's service.
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Go ahead.
So this utilitarian thing which you are discussing, I was just thinking, each one of us have a different ways of serving, doing our service. So sometimes it might differ. There will be some differences but how do we see that, like, when we do that service, like if we see some differences?
I don't understand your question. How do we see differences?
Mm-hmm.
How do we see differences?
Like little variations.
I'm not sure what your question is. There's variety. In this world, there's variety. And we can see there's variety.
Mm.
That's how we see them. It's just, there's different, I mean, I'm not sure what your question
is. Like different people with a different,
okay, I get the differences part, but what's your question?
Like even when serving the deities.
Serving the deity.
Deities, yeah.
Say your whole question. I'm not a mind.
Oh, okay. Suppose each one of us have a different ways of serving the. Doing some service to deities or what doing in the kitchen or thing, but my question is, we have to look for the outcome of the result.
Well, I'm not sure what your question is once again, because when it comes to deity worship, there's standards. It's not, you know, creative time. It's standards. No. One, you know, there may be differences. Someone moving the incense may make smaller or larger circles. There may be someone rings the bell, holding the handle at the top and holding the handle at the bottom, and so the hand in the middle. There may be, you know, but there are standards. Some devotees blow the conch shell. It's like, you know, an elephant's in the room. So it's, you know, there's variegation. There's variegatedness, but there's standards that are to be followed.
So you talked about the upadis, like the lakes, oceans, which is covering on the earth. You know, we should not like same. Similarly, we should not identify us with the upadis,
right?
With the designations.
Mm.
But as a practical, in a practical way, sometimes you know, this upadis are needed to for the surviving. Or
what you're saying is something I also said. We interact with objects of this world appropriate for the designation, but not accepting that's the thing or that's the person.
So when we individually follow, like, as per the understanding of the knowledge, when we work, you know, people around us might not feel comfortable. Oh, always, you know, there are different varieties of people around us, even sometimes devotees, sometimes in the work area. So they may think that you are not fun. And they may think you are so, like, you know, not like making, I mean, you are not enjoying and making us also not enjoy. You know, you can get comments all like that. So, like, in a practical way, though for myself, like, I might be satisfied to be like that. Oh, this is what Krishna says. This is what we learn. So when we apply that, but we encountered all these problems, like, around us. Sometimes even with the devotees groups, even outsiders also. So how do we handle that?
Well, it's going to vary from person to person how they're going to handle that.
Mm.
You know, there's liberals, there's conservatives, and there's moderates.
Mm.
There's variety. How we're going to handle it. The main consideration is, I want to please Krishna. Whether we're in, you know, this end of the spectrum or that end of the spectrum or somewhere in the middle, the contemplation should be, I want to please Krishna.
Hmm. Sometimes you have to adjust.
Of course.
Is it okay?
Now, super conservative people, they don't adjust anything. Because they're right. Just ask them, I'm right. And then other persons are a little flexible within limits. And some people are, you know, totally flexible. They really don't seem to have any standards at all. It's just, let it flow. So there has to be some boundaries.
Okay.
And, you know, an anti-social person that just doesn't care, it's going to be tough for that person to fit into a community. And persons that are interested in community, not just because of their need, but for the sake of expanding Krishna consciousness, they'll be flexible. I'll maintain, it's a little bit like the discussion yesterday that Sri Radhika was asking about interacting with people that are, you know, not so devotional. If you're going to take the role of someone extending Krishna consciousness to those who are not practicing Krishna consciousness, there has to be flexibility. Otherwise, the magnet is not going to find very many iron filings. No, there may be, you know, a very small number. Maybe that's what that person wants. But, you know, then I just want people to, I want a small number. People that are going to be real strict. And
I understood, yeah.
We're different.
Okay.
But in terms of a community, there has to be both internal strictness and external acceptance. And that external acceptance will help the persons that are willing to take a step, more willing to take that step. It's, you know, the same discussion as yesterday. Based upon the relationship, people will take a step.
Mm.
Some people won't even, they won't, it's goodbye.
Mm.
They won't take the step because they didn't feel accepted. It's a personality differentiation. It's also a super soul guiding. In different circumstances, one may be more strict. In some other circumstances, one may be more liberal, more accepting.
Thank you, Manas.
Yeah. You?
Maharaj, you had said that whatever service opportunity is given, we should be happy.
Mm.
But at least in like my mind, it's easier to be like, okay, like I got this service and like be happy with that. But sometimes like consciously or unconsciously, if someone else gets a service that we like or like that we might think, oh, like I could have got that service too, or how would I do that? And how can we like avoid that thought altogether and just be like happy for their growth and like
Well, it sounds like envy. The obstacle is envy, and the medicine for envy is Krishna should be pleased. So if Krishna is pleased, that's fantastic. Then it's not, I'm not at the center, it's Krishna's at the center. And if something is, some service is done by somebody, then chances are that same service is available, even, you know, expand that service, work together, do the service together, or in another opportunity, another place, another facility. But the main thing is Krishna should be pleased. That's the agent that, or the medicine that takes care of that problem. And if one takes that position, then I've seen it happen many times. Krishna provides yet another service that's like amazing. Because I was meditating on, oh, now someone else has that service. But then now another service is waiting that's just fantastic. Very meaningful, very satisfying, very uplifting. It comes down to then our relationship with Krishna. And it's not, we're at the center of the relationship with Krishna. Krishna's at the center. We're the servant, he's the master. And whatever he sanctions, that's fantastic. So the desire to serve and please Krishna, that's the way of happiness in life. And as soon as it kind of gets redefined in terms of my happiness instead of Krishna's happiness, then that's where it pinches.
You answer my question.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.